to Psy.
Spend the day with Psy.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Psy Thursday Live.
Radio Psy Thursday Live. Stay tuned.
Sairam, dear listeners, and welcome to Radio Psy Answering Booth, the show where you can drop your questions, and I, Prem, from Team Radio Psy, will come up with answers based on Swami's message, of course. You can ask 100 people the questions that trouble you. Why, you can even send the questions to me to be answered on the show. And you can get 100 responses for the question that you pose. But let's always remember the answer that matters is the answer that comes from within. But that which resonates with what comes from within. And even more than that, the answer will really mean something only if you proceed to act in accordance. But as I always say, it all starts with sincerely asking a question. And most often, for us who call ourselves devotees of Swami, the question must be, what would Swami want me to do? And on this show, we've had many such questions. We had questions from anxious mothers, confused daughters, troubled husbands and wives, and apprehensive students, businessmen at crossroads, and even sweet little ones. And it has been quite a journey for me to explore answers to those questions along with all of you. For I certainly don't sit here as a learned person dispensing wisdom, but I sit here as a co-learner with all of you seeking clarity from that very same Swami. So let us offer our humble gratitude to Swami, who for all of us is the source of all wisdom, learning, clarity and light. All right then, listeners, let's take a dive into this week's show. Today I have a question from an elderly gentleman, but it's a question that a lot of us will be able to relate to, I'm sure. It's a very practical scenario we all tend to face in day-to-day life, and as I promised last week, after that we will continue with that beautiful poem written by Swami, Thai 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 Bomma. But before all of that, it's time for the quote of the week. That's how we always begin our show, don't we? The quote I'm going to read today is the words of an American actor, Bradley Whitford. The wisdom contained in it is eternal, but the expression is so powerful, and that's the reason why I wish to share it with all of you. So here comes the quote of the week. I quote, "Infuse your life with action. Don't wait for it to happen. Make it happen. Make your own future. Make your own hope. Make your own love. And whatever your beliefs, honor your Creator not by passively waiting for grace to come down from upon high, but by doing what you can to make grace happen. Yourself, right now, right down, here on earth." End of quote. There are some things I strongly agree with in this quote, but there are some things that I mildly disagree with too. But let's leave the disagreements for later and let me tell you what I agree with. Well, as Krishna says in the Gita, this life is what we call a karma janma, a life given for the performance of action, and it is through action that we find grace, find redemption and even deliverance. The problem is, the same actions can even bind us. And because of that, we may be tempted to give up action altogether or avoid those choices which will make us perform more such actions that can bind us. But Krishna also says in the Gita, karma sannyasa is not a good idea, meaning renouncing action altogether is not a good idea. So spirituality or even the path of devotion teaches us how action must be performed so it doesn't bind us, rather it helps us move ahead in our journey. So even to make Swami's grace manifest, we must act and not merely wait. And that is the very advice Lord Hanuman gave Vibhishana, isn't it? When Hanuman entered Lanka in search of Mother Sita, he was drawn to this one palace that was emanating piety. It happened to be that of Vibhishana, the younger brother of Ravana, who is in fact a devotee of Lord Vishnu and who also was aware that Lord Vishnu had come down as Lord Rama. In the conversation that ensued, Swami says that Vibhishana asks Hanuman, why is it that I have not received the grace of Rama still? I have been contemplating on his name and form for so long. Then Hanuman says, Vibhishana, just chanting the name will not suffice. What Rama Karya have you performed? What action have you performed to release Mother Sita? And then Hanuman gives him a life mantra, which Swami would tell us so often. Hanuman says, Man me Ram, Hath me Kam. The name and the form of the Lord in the mind and sanctified action in the hand. That's the way to lead life. And we will not be remembered, dear listeners, for the dreams we have had or for the aspirations we have fostered. We will be defined by the actions that we performed to achieve those dreams, isn't it? The world may judge us by our achievements, but what will give us satisfaction is the thought that we gave it the best shot. And when we believe we have given it our best, it really will not matter if we succeed or not, our ambitions were fulfilled or not, if we change the world or not. The most beautiful line in that quote by Bradley Whitford is, honor your creator not by passively waiting for grace to come down from upon high, but by doing what you can to make grace happen. Swami has given us in no uncertain terms what we must do to solicit his grace. If we really crave for his grace, we must do all it takes, isn't it? Maybe at the end of the day, we will realize that we have nothing more to ask. The action to achieve his grace was itself all-granting and fulfilling. So before moving on, that quote by Bradley Whitford one more time. Infuse your life with action. Don't wait for it to happen. Make it happen. Make your own future. Make your own hope. Make your own love. And whatever your beliefs, honor your creator not by passively waiting for grace to come upon from high, but by doing what you can to make grace happen. Yourself, right now, right down here on earth. Now it's time to head to the question of this week. And this week we have a question from an elderly gentleman. He's from New York. He is in fact, an associate professor. His name is Mr. Danny Novak. Interestingly, we've had him as a guest on our very popular series, Tryst with Divinity 2. So if you're interested, you can go and look it up in our audio archives. His name is Danny Novak, and he's a professor of mathematics, if I've got it right, from the city of New York. So let's listen to his question. As I said, it's a question that many of us might face in our life, an issue which many of us might come through as we go through life. So let's listen to the question, and with prayers to Swami, let's try to answer it for him.
Hi, Prem. Thank you for this most wonderful program. I have one question about my brother-in-law. I have been married for many years, and the relationship between my wife and my brother-in-law got worse and worse over the years. Not from our side, but from his side. And I know where it comes from. It comes from early childhood. Now, we are coming to an age where we will soon be leaving this world. We are not young. And I love him, I care for him, and I don't know how to reach him because the letters that we used to write years ago, the emails, were returned eventually, not immediately, but eventually with hostility, and eventually stopped, like it created so much pain. Now, it all comes from the situation where both my wife and him were small children, living in the same little apartment. Both parents were Holocaust survivors, there was not much peace at home, and the young boy, who became a teenager, started talking unkindly to his father. And then the sister, my wife, who was a few years younger, witnessed it and saw the violence that the little boy was showing, and started feeling hatred towards him. I know it all in my heart. Eventually, the hatred became so big that she didn't externalize it. She kept it in her heart. Now this energy, this negative energy, entered into him. And that's what he really is feeling. Now the question is, what can we do? How can I connect with him? You know, I'm thinking to write him a letter. I think that this kind of problem is quite universal, because, you know, in relationships there are negative emotions that are stored inside. And the question is how to purify it, because in reality we are all one. I would appreciate your answer. Thank you.
So that was the question, and thank you, Mr. Danny, for your question. So I said that, you know, at the face of it, it appears like a very unique problem, given the background, as you explained it, of the Holocaust and, you know, events relating to that, especially issues that are emotionally attached to an event as intense as the Holocaust. I mean, it's very complex, the issues which stem from there. But the problem as such, as you explained it, is, as you yourself mentioned, is something which many of us face, where relationships go sour, and especially between siblings, between a father and a son, a mother and a daughter, or a mother and a son. How do we deal with relationships which, you know, such a thing happened to such relationships? So in that sense, there is a common thread between most of these issues. And of course, I would like to address that particular common thread rather than going into the details which you mentioned, because I feel that most of the time what we need to do is pretty similar. And if we sincerely do what we are supposed to do in that situation, if there's any change we need to do, I really believe that Swami will help us understand what is that particular change that we need to do, or what is that one particular action which we need to do for our particular situation, right? So let's talk about the common issue of having such relationship problems, especially between close relatives, you know, in the case of within the family, right? Before we go into that, even that, I would like to reiterate a point that I'm sure I've mentioned many times in this program. There is a certain perspective change that we need to bring in our minds when we say that we want spiritual solutions for the problems that we undergo. Generally, when we face issues and problems in our life, a question that we ask ourselves is, how do I come out of this, or how do I get a solution to this problem, right? But when it comes to taking a spiritual perspective towards the problem, the question that we need to ask is, what is the right thing that I'm supposed to do given the scenario? That thing may lead to solution, may not lead to solution, but the question that we need to preoccupy ourselves with is, given the scenario, what is the right thing for me to do within these situations? And many times, I mean, it works both ways. Sometimes what we are supposed to do in a situation is defined by what will give us a solution, or maybe it is not defined. But what we need to always ask ourselves is, what am I supposed to do right now? And that is the very essence of the Bhagavad Gita, right? All of what Krishna told Arjuna was this: don't ask yourself, how do I solve this problem? How do I get out of this situation? Only ask yourself, what is Mama Dharma? What is the right action for me to perform in the situation I have been placed in life? So in that sense, what I'm going to try to tell you is, what is the right thing that we can do if we are in a situation like that? It may lead to a solution, it may not lead to a solution. I'll come to that later, why that should not bother us, okay? Now, coming to the problem as such, you know, I always look at it this way. Any relationship between two people, be it between brothers, between sisters, siblings, husband and a wife, any relationship is something like a bridge between two countries over a boundary, right? we have jurisdiction only in our boundary. If we want to repair the bridge, I can repair only that part of the bridge which is in my part of the boundary, and I have no jurisdiction to repair the bridge on the other side of the line, right? This is something that we always have to keep in mind. Any situation, especially like this, we can do what is best in our capacity, what we are supposed to do, but there is no way that we can enforce the other person to mend the bridge from his side, or at least if that person is willing to allow us to come over to that side and mend the bridge for him or mend her bridge for her, that's all right. But most often, we have jurisdiction only to mend the bridge which is on our side of the boundary, or only our side of the relationship we can bother about, and there is no way we can force the other person to correct his side or her side of the bridge or the relationship, right? Sometimes, me seeing our overtures, seeing our attempts to mend this bridge, to mend this relationship, the other person may be inspired to take up actions. Many other times, the relationships actually go wrong because of assumptions. You know, they have wrong assumptions about the other person and his words and his actions, and they tend to think that that person has done something wrong to them, and there is anger. So the moment we start trying to sort out the relationship from our end, the other person is most likely to see it, and the basis on which the anger is built slowly moves away or slowly is removed from under the superstructure, and the whole anger and animosity drops. You know, we could even see that happen. But there is, as I said, it's not for us to worry about what will be the result of the actions that we're going to do, or worry about what will be the response to the moves that we take. We should preoccupy ourselves with what is it that we have to do to sort out this relationship from our end and leave the rest to Swami, right? To start with, I'd like to say one thing, that generally we all do this mistake of giving too much importance to actions and words. Of course, I started today's program with a quote which said how actions are very, very important, and I'm saying something which is contrary to that. But there is a reason for that. You know, we tend to give a lot of importance to what we say, what we do, or what is rather an expression of what is in our mind. We don't realize that the thoughts that we have, the feelings that we have, can be equally or sometimes even more powerful than our words and actions. And that is why Swami would always say that you start with your thoughts, you start with purifying your mind and your thoughts, right? The reason I'm saying this is something which Swami would tell us. There's many times people would ask this question about these yogis and sannyasis who meditate in the Himalayas, right? They've been sitting in the cold and they don't do anything. They sit there and they do meditation. When asked Swami, you know, why should people waste their time like this? Why can't they come into the society and serve the people? Swami would often say this, you know, the service that they do by sitting there and sending out pure thoughts and vibrations in the form of their meditation, in the form of their penance, in the form of their prayers, is much greater seva than you can imagine or you can do by going out and serving the poor. So in that sense, you know, there is a lot of potency in our thoughts and feelings, much more than what is there in our words and actions sometimes. So more than anything else, in a relationship like this, what we must concentrate on is our mental state or our mental approach to the relationship itself. So in that sense, can we ensure that we have completely removed any kind of animosity towards that person in that relationship that has gone bad? We too might have situations in the past that has led us to have anger towards that person or be very upset with that person for what they have done. Can we work on, to start with, removing all those negative feelings that we may have towards that person? And I feel that is the first step. And that will be tested if we can genuinely ask ourselves, are we able to unconditionally, without any barriers, forgive that person? And if that person is before us, can we completely say with confidence that I'll not have any ill feeling towards that person, or, you know, I'm ready to forgive him or her for everything that has been said or done in the past? If we are able to do that, I feel that is an indication for sure that we've removed every bad thought or every thought of anger and disappointment or whatever it is in relationship to this relationship we have with this person. So I think that is primarily the starting point, and in fact that is probably the only thing that we need to do in any relationship. Are we able to completely mend our side of the bridge when it comes to trying to set right this relationship, right? In this context, and Swami would say one thing, that many times the anger that we have towards a person is, he's like, we've forgotten it for many years because we've not spoken to that person, we've not met with that person, we've not had a cup of coffee with that person. But after many, many years, we see that person and suddenly there is a reminder of all that has happened in the past, and that we get angry. And Swami would say that is a clear indication that you've not worked on your side of getting over the what is wrong in that relationship. You've just glossed it over, or you've just buried it under many other things that you've done in the time which has elapsed in between. So that is again an indication of whether we have completely given forgiveness to that person who has caused this trouble. So I think to start with, that is the thing that you'll have to do in this relationship. The other thing that you can do is, again, as I said, you know, you can mend your side of the bridge, and you can even help your wife mend her side of the bridge, right? You know, you can't go and advise your brother-in-law, at least not now in the present state of mind that he is in, but you can help your wife do the same thing. The same what I've spoken so far applies to you, and you can aid your wife do this. Because more than anything else, I had a question about forgiveness some time back, and I've spoken at least a couple of times about it. What we do when we forgive a person is not to release that person, but release ourselves. We are actually walking out of the prison ourselves when we forgive another person. And as you said, we all our sands are running out, and it's better we learn to forgive every person who has brought harm into our life, not for the sake of that person, primarily for the sake of ourselves, and definitely it will help the other person too. So can you do it yourself? And the second thing is, help your wife do it. And, you know, talking about mending bridges or making bridges, I don't know if it is completely related to what I was speaking about relationships, but, you know, many times doing our side of what has to be done will ensure that the other side will come around sometime or the other. And I remember when Swami was doing the water project, the Chennai water project, that time Swami, the project proposal was that the water from a river which was in the state in which Swami's ashram is, that is Andhra Pradesh, will be taken via a canal right up to a reservoir which is in the other state, which is Tamil Nadu, the state in which the city of Chennai is. And from that reservoir, the water will go into Chennai, right? So when this was the proposal which was given to Swami, and Swami asked the governments of both the states for approval so that this project can be done. And the project was cleared by the Andhra Pradesh government, that is the government where Puttaparthi is governed. But the state of Tamil Nadu was not very forthcoming from their side. You know, they were not very happy with the project for many reasons. They didn't want a private organization to come and do this and get the goodwill of the people. They were the government. They wanted the name. And there were so many such issues. So when they came up to Swami, and Swami, the people who were doing the project said, Swami, this is the problem. Swami said, it's all right. You know, you build a canal from our end. You know, you don't bother about the canal on the other side of the border. Build the canal on this side. And that's precisely what they did. The first phase of the Chennai water project was, the canal was done up till the border of Andhra Pradesh. And it was just a matter of time before another government came. And this government readily agreed for Swami to do up the rest of the canal. And that's how the project was completed. You could see this as a change of government, a change of guard. And so this happened. But the thing was, in the meanwhile, Swami did not wait for the other government to come up with its proposal. And, you know, he did not wait for the government to change. He did not wait for that person to come and say, yes, I give you the permission. Swami said, you know, whatever we can do, let's do it right now. And that actually worked, because by the time the other government came, this side of the canal was already done up, and they saw how selflessly the organization, the Satsai organization, had gone about doing this, how effectively it was done in a very, very short span. And that was enough for the other government to realize that these people are very serious about helping the people of the city. And that's why they were more than happy to do it. And, you know, eventually when Swami did go to Chennai on a visit many years later, there was a grand program organized by the government, by the citizens conclave of the city of Chennai, to appreciate Swami and the organization for the yeoman service that they've done. The point I'm making is, going back to the analogy of relationships are like bridges which are built across boundaries. You can't eternally wait for the other person to start mending the bridge from that their side. What we really have to do is to start from our side and do whatever it takes and whatever we can from our side and be prepared, right? And be prepared for the other person to come around. And I think eventually that will happen. What if that doesn't happen? What if the other person does not come around? Well, before I get into that, I'd like to ask you to do another exercise, even as you are trying to mend your side of the fence. The thing is, why is it that you want your brother-in-law to come around? Why is it that you want that relationship to be, sorted out? Many times, when we look at relationships, especially with our parents, with our siblings, there is this feeling that, it is my brother, or my mother, or my father, and I'm not talking to that person. If that is the driving force for you to sort out this problem that you've spoken to us about, then I think you have to first start with purifying that thought, because I think that is coming out of attachment. And who knows, Swami might have arranged this whole thing so that it is giving you an opportunity to detach yourself from the people around you, right? And even as I say this, a rider to all of the youngsters, don't take it that every time you fight with your parents or you're having a sort of relationship with any of your relatives, don't take it that Swami is cutting off attachments, right? It is, going back to what I've spoken so far, if you have any anger left in you, if you have any kind of irritation or animosity against that person, you have to still work on it. Attachment or no attachment, that is Swami's part of the equation if he's removing attachments from us. But as long as we are angry with someone, it means that we are not giving up attachment. Attachment does not necessarily mean a loving form of being, thinking of that person. It could even be anger. It could even be our inability to give up our, something which has gone wrong in the past. So that does not stop us from working our side of what we need to do, right? So even if Swami is trying to remove an attachment from you, especially I'm saying this to the youngsters, because we tend to take very, very simple view of things. The moment, let's say, you grow up and you probably leave your house, you don't turn back to your parents, and you can't quote this example and say that probably Swami is cutting off my attachments, and that's why I don't feel like talking to my mother, and that's why I don't feel like going back to my home. Well, that's not an excuse at all. Your ability to go back to that person, your ability to speak very normally to that person will be restored. And then if you don't have attachment, I think that is the way forward, right? So don't quote me wrong and trying to justify if something like that is happening in your life. Going back to the person who asked us a question, Mr. Danny, after you've done all of what I've said and after you've done all of that, what you need to do, even after that, if that person is not forthcoming and if that person is not willing to, restore the relationships with you and your wife, it could just mean that Swami is stopping this attachment from growing. This is a way of Swami isolating you from a person who probably could disturb the peace of mind in your family. But again, that does not stop you from doing whatever I've said. You ensure that you've purified your mind. The reason I say this is, of course, you mentioned in your own question, you said, why should we all have these kind of fights with each other, because all of us are one. And that's precisely the reason. If this relationship is really bothering you, I think you need to ask yourself, why is it bothering me? Because we all know that Swami tells us, love all. And when we say we love all, it does not mean that we really spend time with everybody we love. It doesn't really mean that I go out and share a meal with a person that I love. Love is purely a feeling which you have in your heart, and there are many, many ways in which it manifests, and I'll not go into that today. It's a pretty detailed one Swami has spoken of. Depending on the person in front of us, that love takes many forms, and I think in our simple perception of it, we think that love means only to be able to, share a conversation with that person or be very warm with that person. Love has many forms. So we don't feel a lacuna when we are not able to converse freely with a person, we might still love all, might still have that feeling of love towards a person whom we probably just meet on the road or whom we see on a, during a commute. But we don't feel that I am not speaking to that person, I am not able to converse with that person, right? So many times when we feel hurt that there's a certain person in our close circle who is not responding to our friendship, who is not responding to our love, we have this feeling that we're hurt that, you know, so-and-so is, you know, he's my brother, is my brother-in-law, is my, relative or my friend who's not responding to me. So if it is born from attachment, that is again something that you need to work on. You try to do whatever it takes to mend the relationship, but you also give up the idea that the relationship should be mended because you come to the conclusion that if Swami wants this to be done, if Swami wants that this should be sorted out, then it will be sorted out. If it doesn't get sorted out, then it really means that it was not meant to be and there was a certain reason why this had to happen. That's why I said when we are in a situation, when we are going through a problem, the question that we often ask ourselves is, what should I do to come out of the situation or solve this problem? But really the question that we need to ask is, what is it that we have to do? It may get solved doing what we have to do. It may not get solved doing what we do. But what our concentration should be upon is what is it that we really need to do, right? So in summary of what I've spoken so far, I think if you really feel that you need to write another mail to him, you need to reach out to him, I think you should. Because if that is the prompting from within, I think you should follow it. But maybe you can even use his response to test yourself. How much you're not hurt by the way he is responding, you could probably test that out for yourself. But if you really feel that you need to write another mail to him, if you have to reach out to him, I think you should. Because I think that is the prompting from within. Secondly, as I said, sometimes we give way too much importance to words and actions. What is more important is probably the feelings, right? So pray wholeheartedly for him, and to be having hatred in one's heart for anybody is actually a curse in a sense. So do pray for him, pray that his hatred should be lifted, and at least in the last few years as you all go through, you should be able to not have any kind of hatred towards each other. And I'm sure this prayer, which you can do with all sincerity, and you know, you can't be sure that anybody else would do it, but you can be sure that you can do it yourself. So if you do prayer for that person with all sincerity, I'm sure that would be far more effective than even you writing a mail or going up to that person's home and trying to console him and trying to patch up with him. Lastly, take whatever it takes to purify yourself and your thoughts and keep yourself completely open. If at all it happens that that person comes around and comes to your door, you are always open to receive that person. And who knows, it might happen sooner than you can imagine. So I think that's what I wanted to tell you. Thank you very much for that question. And I hope the other listeners who may be facing something similar to that also would have got something to think about at least. And later, of course, as I said, it's not about questions and answers. It's about acting upon answers. Right? So thank you, Mr. Danny. Thank you for that beautiful question. If you have anything more to ask in this particular theme, you can always write to me at prem@radiosai.org. Coming now to that interesting part of the program which we started last week, there is this beautiful poem which is part of Swami's Sandeha Nivarani, a 27 paragraph long poem, originally written in Telugu. It was of course in the Sandeha Nivarani translated beautifully by Professor Kasturi. And as a prelude to this poem, Swami says in that Sandeha Nivarani, and those of you who have read it will know, the whole Vahini is written as a conversation between Swami and a devotee, right? And in that, Swami tells this devotee, here is a Burakatha I'm going to sing for you. Burakatha is a traditional Telugu folk art. And Swami says that this poem is written like a Burakatha. And if you listen to this poem and concentrate on the meaning of each of these words, you could well get Vairagya, right? And as we've heard it last week, it's a beautiful poem that starts from the point where we are all in the womb, we go through these various stages of life as a boy, as a youngster, as a and later as an adult, and then through our productive years, making money and all of that. Swami speaks of all of that. But all of this in a beautiful analogy. Swami speaks of human beings going through each of these processes and thinking different things in their mind. Swami speaks of it as a doll, you know, as a doll whose strings are being pulled by somebody above. Swami says that this doll thinks that it is doing this. This doll is happy on its achievements, forgetting that it is, after all, a dummy doll, right? So the whole poem is written on the basis of that. Swami is addressing all of us human beings as dolls which have forgotten what is the true purpose we are all here for. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to play that poem from the beginning. I'll stop it at the point till where we discussed last week. And then we will again, like last week, take it one paragraph at a time.
Tai 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 bomma, dini tamasha jodara maya bomma. Khyatiga dini ki mundu venkagala, kadhavivarintunu vinujiva. Tai 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 bomma, dini tamasha jodara maya bomma. Matru garbhamuna malamutramula, rotala nivu rodimpa, prithiga viralu perantammulu chetu ridentati chitramura. తై 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 బొమ్మ దీని తమాష జోడర మాయబొమ్మ పుట్టితి మది గోల్పోయితి దుర్గతి పట్టితినని నీవేడవగా అట్టే నవ్వుచు నానందించద రిట్టి వీరు నీకెవరయ్యా తై 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 బొమ్మ దీని తమాష జోడర మాయబొమ్మ మసిలో మట్టిన మలమూత్రములన్ మసలుచు సిగ్గను మాటయ్యలేక పసిపాపడవై పడచూ లేచుచు దినముక నాటక మాడవోకో తై 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 బొమ్మ దీని తమాష చూడర మాయబొమ్మ తోడి వారలతో కూడియాడుచు వేడుకతో పలు విద్యలు నేర్పుచు చూడ చూడగ చోద్యపు కళతో ఏడేడునకు ఎదిగే బొమ్మ తై 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 బొమ్మ దీని తమాష చూడర మాయబొమ్మ పతియని సతియని సరసభావమున జతజేరుచు సంసార రంగమున అతి కౌతుకమున నంతకన్ననిక అన్యములేదని అడితిరే తై 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 బొమ్మ దీని తమాష జోడర మాయబొమ్మ బొమ్మను బొమ్మను పొందుపరచి పలు బొమ్మలు సేయుర బ్రహ్మయ్య నమ్ముటవన్నీయు నావేయని ధిమ్ధిమ్మని వానితో నాడుదుగా తై 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 బొమ్మ దీని తమాష జోడర మాయబొమ్మ ధనము గూర్చునెడ దాచిపెట్టునెడ దాని వెంచనది చనినప్పుడున్ తనువుతోడనీ మనసుతోడనీ తాండవమెన్నగ తరమౌన తై 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 బొమ్మ దీని తమాష జోడర మాయబొమ్మ కామము క్రోధము గట్టికోలగా తామసంబుముకు దాడులుగాగన్ కామినియున్ కనకంబు చేతిలో గంగిరెద్దులై గంతులు వేసి తై 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 బొమ్మ దీని తమాష చూడర మాయబొమ్మ.
That was the poem till where we stopped last week, and as I said, the whole repetition in that whole poem is this tai 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 bomma tamasha chudaraya mayabomma. Swami says that, you know, this is this dancing dummy, and see how hilarious it is, what it is doing as it is going through life. And this is a Maya Bomma, Swami says. It is a illusory doll. And the last paragraph which we spoke about is when Swami is saying that how you are literally driven by your greed and your lust, and you go through your life pursuing these two, forgetting the very purpose of life. So we'll continue with from there. I'll again go paragraph by paragraph.
సాగుచున్నదని లోగిన వారిని సంకటపెట్టుటె సంతసమ ఈగకాలి ఎంతే వికటించిన నీ గతి తైతకలే గదా తై 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 బొమ్మ దీని తమాష చూడర మాయబొమ్మ.
Interestingly, you know, Swami says in that you trouble people who are meek. You know, you trouble those who are subordinates to you, and you relish that. You know, when somebody comes and stoops in front of you, somebody who comes and comes in front of you with fear, Swami says that you relish that kind of authority, and you forget that even that minutest, when it comes back to you, you are rattled, right? And the beautiful comparison that Swami makes is that the leg of a fly, you know, how small is a fly, and Swami is referring to the leg of the fly. That's how small, Swami says, that minute quantity when it happens to you, what you do to others, Swami says, you start dancing up and down, you're not able to take it. And that is the meaning of the poem, that is the meaning of the paragraph which Swami just said now.
Urimi chuchuchunu karamu luchuchunu, vadanirugani sivam enduchunu, arachuchu neguruchu nandaru navvaga agrahamanu dayyamu pattina. తై 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 బొమ్మ దీని తమాష జోడర మాయబొమ్మ.
This is the beauty of the poem, you know, Swami is, even as Swami is, the poetry is beautiful, the message is of course very, very profound, but all the while Swami is talking about, Swami is drawing our imagination to the idea of a doll there going through all of these emotions. And in this paragraph, Swami is talking about when we get angry. Swami is saying there is lightning in the eye, the hands are shivering, and Swami is making a very beautiful analogy to that of a corpse, right? When there is no life in the body twists and turns according to the way it is twisted and turned, right? Swami says when you're angry or like that, you completely lose control over your limbs, you don't know what you're doing, you don't know what you're saying, you're jumping up and down, you're shouting like a madman, and that is how you're behaving. You're behaving like you're being possessed by somebody. And Swami is talking about anger, and Swami is saying, this is what this dummy doll does when it gets angry.
Chaduvendulakanu sangati marachi udara poortikai urukulettuchu eduti goppa sahiyimpakechuchu satamatamaiye chaduvulabomma taitai taitai taibomma dini tamasha chodara mayabomma.
Now Swami is referring to that educated dummy, right? So that is what Swami is referring to. He says, forgetting the purpose of education, forgetting the purpose of learning, you are running and jumping around merely to fill the stomach. And not only that, you are unable to accept the good of the person who is in front of you. You are not able to see that, you are not able to appreciate that and accept that. Swami is saying that that is the status of the modern educated bomma or the dummy doll.
Guttugani chedukorke chellenani లొట్టలు గొట్టకు రోరన్న చిట్టా రాస్తే చిత్రగుప్తు కండ్లెట్టుల గంతలు గట్టుదురా తైతై తైతై తైబొమ్మ దీని తమాష జూడర మాయబొమ్మ.
Again, in this poem, Swami, in this paragraph, Swami is saying that in the anonymity of your own rooms, you know, unseen by anybody, you satisfy your cheap desires, your cheap sensual desires, thinking that nobody will know about it. You know, we all do that in the outside world. We appear a certain person, but we are having our own, you know, dirty thoughts in our minds. Swami is saying that you think that nobody will know about it. You think nobody will come to know of it. And in the Indian mythology, we have this idea of a character called Chitragupta, right? He's a person supposed to be sitting in the heaven and keeping a precise account of each of our actions and thoughts. So Swami is saying that you are satisfying these cheap desires, thinking that nobody knows about it and nobody will come to know what is going on in your mind. Swami is saying, but how are you going to blindfold Chitragupta, who notes every deed that you do? That is the meaning of that paragraph.
Andamu prayamu indriya shaktiyu undani nikkaku roranna mundunnadira tondaralone musalitanammanu musalapanduvu taitai taitai taibamma dini tamasha jodara mayabamma.
Now Swami is talking about that stage in life when, you know, youth is finally fading away. We have come to the midlife and that we are on the threshold of old age. Swami is saying that you feel proud of your beauty, of your youth, of your astuteness, of your senses, but you don't realize that right ahead of you is old age. It's waiting like there is a phrase that Swami uses in Telugu, which I don't know what exactly is the relative meaning in English, but something like Swami saying it's like a lake filled with crocodiles. You know, you don't know that they are there till you actually get into the lake. Swami saying it's like that. You're proud about your youth, about your beauty, but you don't realize that lurking under the water is the crocodile, and that is what is old age.
మసల లేవు కను మసకలు మోమున మడతలు బడెతల నెరిసెనుగా ముసలికోతి అని పనివారెల నిన్ ముసిముసి నవ్వగ కసరుకొనునేవో తైతై తైతై తైబొమ్మ దీని తమాష చూడర మాయిబొమ్మ.
Now Swami is talking about old age. When you become old, Swami says you can't move, your eyes are not able to see, your face is filled with wrinkles, your hair is growing white, and Swami says children on the streets run after you calling, oh you mad, you old monkey, you old monkey. That's what Swami says. And when children refer to you like that, looking at your appearance, you get angry, you get very upset, and not realizing that that is the state you are in when you become old. That since we have been so obsessed with our beauty, so obsessed with our achievements, Swami says that you think that this will never happen, and you lead your life being totally unprepared for this moment. And Swami says that same body which was so very powerful, which was able to achieve whatever it wanted to, which was proud of its abilities and its beauty, it's the same body. It's not like another person has come there. It's the same you who was so proud of yourself, who has become this person who appears to be like a mad monkey with a wrinkled face and eyes are not able to see and the limbs are not in its control. It's not able to move as it wants.
చచ్చుదాక సంసార చింతలో పుచ్చిన లాభము వచ్చేన అచ్చటనీయమ యాతన కడ్డము వచ్చేదేదిర పిచ్చయ్య తైతై తైతై తైబొమ్మ దీని తమాష చూడర మాయబొమ్మ.
In continuation of that previous paragraph, Swami is saying that because we have led our life like this, till the time of death, we are lost in the thoughts of the world. What is the point of this whole thing? And you know, these things which we gather in the form of wealth, in the form of relations, in the form of friends, in the form of, you know, the many thousand followers and friends that you might have on social media. I mean, of course, Swami does not refer to that. It was written much before that. But Swami says that you spent all your time for all of this, forgetting that old age is at your doorstep, forgetting that what follows old age is death. And we have filled our lives with things which really don't matter. And then finally Swami says that when you are in the hands of Yama, the Lord of Death, you realize that all of what you've gathered is of no use. It does not come to your rescue. And it is only how much you've thought of God during this course of life really matters when finally the Lord of Death places his hand on you.
బుర్రు మనుచు జీ ఉండను పెట్ట బుట్ట బొమ్మను విడిపోగా బిర్రుగా నీల్గిన కర్ర బొమ్మ ఇది బర్రున బయటికి పట్టిలాగే తైతై తైతై తై బొమ్మ దీని తమాష చూడర మాయ బొమ్మ.
This is again a very, very beautiful paragraph, and many times Swami would quote this paragraph alone in his discourses. Swami says, you know, the prana which is inside you, the life force, it's like a sparrow. And it is like a sparrow which is living in a decorated doll. You know, you have a doll which is beautifully decorated. You've put a beautiful cloth around it. You've wrapped a beautiful cloth around it. And there is a doll like that. And Swami says that the life force within is like a sparrow which one day just flies out of this doll. And the moment the sparrow flies out of this decorated doll, this becomes a lifeless wooden doll. Which means in a matter of few minutes, that doll, which probably would have been very beautiful till then or very good looking till then, starts losing its beauty, starts losing its vitality, right? That's what happens when death comes. And Swami says, in a matter of few minutes, this doll, which was celebrated as a mother, as a father, as a brother, or whatever it is, in no time, this very doll is going to be dragged out of the house. That is what Swami says. That's what happens when death comes. And this is something which Swami would say in many discourses. We don't realize that one day this same very body which is respected and, you know, celebrated is going to be dragged out and thrown into a ditch or consigned to fire. What happens to that? And all the while we are only obsessed with looking at another person as a body or looking at ourselves as a body. So all of this, Swami is saying that isn't this all so funny? I mean, this is like a comical play of the dolls, and this is that is the essence of the entire poem, isn't it?
Panchabhuta sambhavamau meeniki panchattvamu praaptinchugada vanchitudai na danchu deenikai vanchagonchu dukhinche jeeva tai 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 bomma deeni tamasha choodara maya bomma.
Swami says when this happens, when death finally happens, you know, people stand around it or sit around it and cry, saying that, oh, what was ours has gone, right? You know, my mother is gone, my father is gone, or whatever it is. And Swami is saying that you don't realize that this whole body came from the five elements and it's gone back to the five elements. It was never yours. What are you crying over? And many times there is this beautiful story that is said. There is this man who is on the banks of a river and he sees this a gold plate which is being washed by the currents of the water. So he jumps into the water thinking that he'll grab that gold plate and he'll make some money out of it. And the story goes that he jumps in, he grabs the plate, but the plate is far too heavy for him to hold it in one hand and swim with the other hand and reach the banks. So eventually the people on the banks, they start telling him that, you know, you're going to drown trying to hold on to that plate. So let go of that plate and save your life. So finally he doesn't have any other option. He lets go of that gold plate and he comes back to the bank. And the moment this man comes back to the bank, he starts crying. He says, oh God, I've lost my gold plate, I've lost my gold plate. And a wise old man who was there, he comes to him and says, my son, that plate was never yours. It never was yours, it is not yours now. So what are you crying about? And that's precisely what Swami is telling here. This body came from the five elements, it's gone back to the five elements. It was never yours, but the dolls sit around this doll which is no more having life in it. And they're crying, saying that what was ours is no more ours.
బంధువులందరు వాకిటి దాకను వల్లకాటికిని ఒత్తురుగా బంధమణచి నిన్ బాయని ఆపద్ బాంధువు భగవన్ నామమిరా తైతై తైతై తైబొమ్మ దీని తమాష జోడర మాయబొమ్మ.
And then Swami says that, you know, you could have 100,000 relatives and friends, but Swami says all of them can only come till the threshold, right? The threshold of life. Swami says they can only come till the crematorium. They cannot come any farther than that. They could be very fond of you, they could be friends who are very, very dear to you, but they can't come farther than that. They will only come till the threshold or the point where you're going to be buried or you're going to be consigned to the flames. And Swami says, only one thing will come with you, even after this point. And I think this is something which only probably someone like Swami can tell us. Because who else can tell us what will come with us across this threshold of life and death? It is only Swami who is beyond that can tell us. And Swami says, the only thing that you can carry beyond this threshold is the name of God. And Swami ends by saying that that is precisely why you should spend your life as you go through, be it your childhood, your adulthood, or your old age, thinking of God, taking the name of the Lord. So that, dear listeners, is going to be the last paragraph I'll be doing for this week. There are a few more paragraphs which I'll take up in the next Radio Swami answering booth. So that's going to be the wrap for this week's program. If you have a question that you would like me to answer on the show, if it's about practical spirituality, that would be wonderful. You can send it to me to my personal mail ID. That's prem@radiosai.org. That's prem@radiosai.org. If you could send it in your own voice, like Mr. Danny did, it would be wonderful. I could play a question in your own voice and then answer it. If you wish to be anonymous, you can tell me. I'll ensure that I don't mention your name on the program. So once again, thanking Mr. Danny for that question. And thank you all for joining me on this week's Radio Swami Answering Booth. Dear listeners, today is the 20th of April, a day which is very close to the 24th of April, a day which is very poignant in all of our lives. Especially all of us who are attached to that form, Satyasai, right? There might be many devotees, but few of us are attached to the form, and I think I don't have any hesitation to say that. So I'm going to leave all of you with a song which pretty much expresses the feeling that comes to us every time we remember that physically Swami is not with us, but it's not long before we realize that Swami can never be far away from us. So I'm going to leave you with a song which is a prayer seeking Swami's darshan. I'll join you again at 12:30 for the afternoon satsang as always, of course, but I'll join you again at 11 a.m. next Thursday for the next episode of Radio Sai Answering Booth.
My मन में अब आग लगी है, तेरे दर्शन की प्यास लगी है। ढूंढू कहाँ तुम्हें ये तो बता दो, ढूंढू कहाँ, ढूंढू कहाँ, ढूंढू कहाँ, मंदिर में तुम, मस्जिद में तुम, काशी में तुम, काबा में तुम, ढूंढू कहाँ, ढूंढू कहाँ, ढूंढू कहाँ, मन में अब आग लगी है, तेरे दर्शन की प्यास लगी है, प्यासे नैना, प्यासे नैना दर्श के दे। दिखा दो जीवन ज्योति जला दो,